Tuesday, 5th of June, Tetzvah of Sivan, Rabbi David Kahn, Dine Malchus Dine.
Good morning, Yemitz Hashem. We'll finish on time. No need to worry. Al Tistakel Bekamkam. The Mishnah in Ovis, Perik Gimel Mishnah Beis, Rabbi Chanina Skam HaKoenim Oimer, Hevi Mispalel Bishloima Shel Malchus, Shilamole Moira, Ishes Re'eyu Chaim Bloy. There's a din that one should daven for the Shloima Shel Malchus. Interesting, the Teferis, the Tosis Yontov explains that the concept of Malchus, almost seeing in some type of a plural singular noun, he says, it refers to not just the Melech, the king, but Im Sorov, his princes, Veyotsov, his advisors, Hamanhigim Malchusoi, who help him govern his country. And therefore there's a din to daven for Shloim Shel Malchus, and that's where the source of our, the din that we do every week, I'm not quite sure, that every week that we say a tefillah for the Shloim Shel Malchus, this comes from this Mishnah. And in fact, Rashi and the Baal Tanura say, B'shloim Shel Malchus, V'afilu Shel Umos Ha'olam. It refers to non-Jewish kings as well as Jewish kings. They're included in the din of being mispal B'shloim Shel Malchus. And Rabbeinu Yonah says something beautiful. Rabbeinu Yonah says, why should we daven B'shloim Shel Malchus? Apart from the Mishnah says quite clearly that if you wouldn't daven, there'd be absolute anarchy in the world, and there'd be no law and order. Says Rabbein Yonah, gives a different angle to it. He says, Zeh ho'inyan, rotz ha'loima, what's behind this? Sheyesh la'odom ispalel, al shalom kol ha'olam, or shloim kol ha'olam. A person should daven for the tranquility, for the peace of the entire world, ulitztaya al tzar shel acherim, and also to empathize with the pain of others. He says, V'chein, darkom shel tzadikim. This is the mindset and the mode of tzadikim. K'mo sh'omar David olav ha'shalom, as David says in Tehillim, V'ani b'chaloisom, he says, levushi sak. And I, at the time of when other people are in pain and distress, I wear sackcloth, he says. He says, and I fasted in my own fast. Shein laodom, says Rabbeinu Yonah, shein laodom lasas tachanunov, uba koshosei letzorchov levad. When a person davens, they shouldn't just daven for their own, in their own self-centered world, but a person should, achlis palel al kol bnei odom, a person should daven for the entire, for mankind generally, sheyamdu b'shalom, that they should be able to exist in peace, u'b'shloimo shel malchus yesh shalom lo'olam, when there's shalom in the malchus, there's shalom in the world. Another reason for davening b'shloimo shel malchus. I'll even mention that the Tiferes Yisrael adds yet another angle to it, and the Tiferes Yisrael says like this, afil shum so'olam, and he brings a proof from a pasuk in Yirmiyah, ulam, Loikoma b'shalom ha'melech. It doesn't say melech in the singular. He says, midiyesh medinos shamanhigim rabim. You've got countries where those who run the country, it's a multifaceted government, kazakenim shabaromi, like the elders of Rome, b'yomim akadmonim, uchamedinas Schweiz bizmanenu, he says. Like there must have been then, there was no malchus there in Switzerland already. He lived before the time of the Churban. And then he continues, V'loi levad malchus. It doesn't just apply to malchus. Elo gam kol manhig b'iroi. Any ruler in his city, v'adosei, his congregation, nikro b'shem melech, he's called a melech, v'havi mispalel b'shloimom, one should daven for their peace and for their good, kidei shiyeh lehem monoyach lefakeach al tovus haklal, that they should have the peace. They should have the peace of mind to be able to take charge and to see to what the populace around them needs. Umehai timer, for that reason, osa mishaberach b'chol Shabbos, he says, and Also, we say Yirotzein b'chol yom kriyas haTorah, whenever there's kriyas haTorah, ba'ad loim de Torah, for those who learn Torah, levavor, because kihem noseein haneiros, they're the ones who carry the candles, the lights, he says, lifnei b'nei dorom, in front of the members of their generation, lanhigom b'derech yeshara. So he says the Yirotzein kriyas haTorah, Monday and Thursday, for the Talmid Chachomim, Heim, Vneim, Vneim, Vneseim, B'chol HaSheloheim, that tefillah is because the Talmid Chachomim, or those who enlighten us and show us the way, it's also a type of Anhoga. So it's a generalistic tefillah that we have for all those who give us, who benefit us in any way. And this really leads us to, I think, that particularly at this time, before we go on to the nitty-gritty of Dina de Malchusa, I think at this time particularly that there's a reason to show some gratitude to in the country that we live in. We have the social benefits, the medical benefits, the state school funding. We're allowed to, more important than everything else is that we're allowed to practice Yiddishkeit without being hampered. Whether it is people come to me regularly who have exams, that they're able to delay them, they end up on Shabbos or Shavuos or whatever it is, they come to me, just all they need is a letter saying that they're an Orthodox Jew, and the necessary arrangements are made. Similarly, when it comes to people on jury service, then a religious person, an Orthodox Jewish person, is excused and arrangements are made. It is something which is a true Malchus HaChesed, and I really feel that it's something that we need to give thanks for. We need to be recognizant. As Yehudim, we need to show recognition to Yehudi means that we are those who give thanks, and we recognize the good that is done to us, and I feel really that's very much part of it. Although, I don't think that we necessarily have to waste days in going to all types of parties. I think that there needs to be some sort of representation of the Jewish people, that the monarchy realizes that we support and that we salute this special occasion at this special time. But we are Mamlechas Kohanim, and whether far better for us to sit in the Beis HaMedrash and learn with a flag outside, with a Union Jack or a Union Yankel outside, as opposed to then to spend time where it is in some park or wherever it is, wasting our time. I'm sure that combination is something that is not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu's proud of, but it would be better for the country, because that would certainly be a Tosefes. I'll just mention as well that just before we go further, and this is now the question is, that it's the question, clearly, this is the topic of the Shia, is how do we grapple with the question of, we have Dina de Malchut, we have, of course, the Din of the Torah, we have 613 mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told us precisely what yes to do and what not to do, yet we live in Golus, and we live in a country where the laws are the laws of this country. How do the two fit together? How are we able to juggle the two laws together? On the one hand, of course, to be absolutely 100% steadfast and to sign a 100% allegiance with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Naaseh v'Nishma. On the other hand, to be law-abiding citizens. The truth of the matter is, part of the Malchus of Chesed that we really do appreciate is the fact that we don't really have a problem. Baruch Hashem, there are no instances when we are being told that in order to keep, not to violate the law of England, we need to do anything against the Torah. We've never come across such, we don't experience in history, of course there have been severe problems, but we don't have such problems, on the one hand. On the other hand, the laws, many of the laws in England that are not written in the Torah, that not in any way resembled in the Torah, some of them, of course, are common. But some of the laws that apply, whether it's traffic road laws, you won't find that in the Torah. But, however, the Din de Malchusa certainly doesn't interfere, and in many cases, that the general principle upon which they're based are things that we need to do anyway, because it is Ushmatim Oidla Nafsho Seichem, or whatever it is, pure consideration towards other people. And therefore, in the general way, there is no problem whatsoever as far as being able to keep the two together. The only question is the following. When there is a situation, you mustn't go through a red traffic light, even if you're colorblind. So even if you're colorblind, you're not going through a red traffic light. Now the question is like this. How do we define in terms of Torah, or can we define in any way in terms of Torah, that it is against the law to go through a red traffic light, it's against the law not to stop at a pedestrian crossing, it is against the law to park in various places? How does that fit in any way to the din of the Torah? We said, dina d'machus adina, and indeed that is a Gemara in many places in Shas, Omar Shmuel, dina d'machus adina, that's how we paskin. We paskin that the din of the malchus that we live in is dina. It is indeed a din. It is a legitimate right of the country that we live in to impose certain rules and regulations upon us, and we paskin that that is correct. So what does that mean in practical terms? I've heard before suggested that somebody who parks on a yellow line or a double yellow line, so when they come to next Yom Kippur, they have to clap Al Chait. And I think that's wrong. I think the din of the Machos Din does not mean that we're adding to any of the Tariag Mitzvahs. It doesn't mean that we had Tariag Mitzvahs, and then we moved to England, and they in England there's a whole set of laws, and those said, Dinah's Machos Adina, there's an annex to the Dinim. It doesn't mean that at all. It means, now the question is, what does it mean? It certainly means that some of the Dinim, some of the laws, shall we say, of the country, will certainly fall into categories that are already legislated for in the Torah. As we said, some of them will be a question of pikuach nefesh, shmatem oed nafshe seichem. Some of them will fall into categories of gezel, of stealing. And some of them will fall into the categories, and we'll come to see it exactly, how we define how. And then we'll go on to see where, in certain cases, there are small instances which we'll see where the two conflict, and the question is, how do we resolve them? They don't conflict in a way that really affects the individual on the street. It doesn't affect the individual in everyday behavior. It really affects the way a Beis Din will paskin relative when you have one din given in the Torah and you have another set of legislation, lahavdil, which is given by given by English law. And the question is which one to follow when you're trying to decide between one litigant and the other. But first of all, the question is, what is the definition? Why is it true that dina d'machus adina, and we need this to be able to understand it, what does it mean, dina d'machus adina? And there are three opinions amongst the Rishonim what this really means. According to the Ran is probably the most famous, the Ran in the Dorim Daf Chof Ches, the Ran says the following. In fact, he's quoting Tosfos, and he says the following. Dina de Malchusa, Dina, why is it so? Mipnei, Sheho'oretz Shaloi. Why does the king, or the government of the country that we live in, have a rule over us? He says, the Ran says, Mipnei Sheho'oretz Shaloi, because the country belongs to the monarch, or belongs to the government, that he says, therefore the king, in this case the queen, can say to them, can say to the Jews, if you don't agree to comply with my laws, I'll throw you out. You come in, the understanding of you coming, my acceptance of your living in my country, says the king or the queen, is on conditions, conditional upon you being law-abiding citizens. So the Ran says, Avo b'malchei Yisrael, very interesting, he says, but when it comes to Jewish kings, he says, lo, there's no such thing, lefi she'eretz Yisrael, kol Yisrael shutofim bo. There's an intrinsic difference between Yidden in Eretz Yisrael and Yidden in Chutz Loretz. Interestingly enough, according to the Ran, there's no technical dina de malchus adina in Eretz Yisrael. because we're all shutvim, since the underlying principle is that the country belongs to Her Majesty the Queen, and therefore, since that's the case, we've come here, so to speak, at Spodja, so to speak, but we're here at her mercy, and she says we're allowed in the country on condition that we keep the laws. And therefore, we have to. What does that mean, therefore we have to? We'll see much more. But, says the Ran in Eretz Yisrael, every Jew has got the right to live in Eretz Yisrael. We've all got a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, says the Ran, it wouldn't technically be Dina de Malchus Adina in Eretz Yisrael at all. The Rosh continues, and the Rosh says the same thing, but he qualifies a bit more. He says the following, V'hainu taima dina de dinoi dina, sheho'oretz sheloi, v'af hediot, even an individual, sheyeshloi karka, who owns lands, kach dinoi, the law is, in fact the din is, shloyene odom me'artsoi, no one's allowed to have benefit from this land in England, for example, belonging to the crown, elom midaito ubikitzvosei, and only on condition that the queen is acknowledging, accepts this, and is bikitzvosei according to the limits, the parameters that the law accepts. That's what he explains. Now, the question is, and this is how, according to the Ran, that should only then apply to laws pertaining to land. This is a very interesting question. The concept din de malchus adina, does it stop if it's really because the land belongs to her? Even if you bought your house and you paid off your mortgage, there's no question about it. The land still belongs to the crown. It means that you have a certain ownership in the land, a certain rights in the land vis-a-vis other individuals. But certainly you can't build a fortress around your house and call it Finkelpfeffer land. It still belongs, the law of the country still belongs, it is, there is still an underlying ownership of England. And therefore, the England says you can benefit, you can acquire rights in this land on condition that you're prepared to keep the laws of the land. But the question is, does this only pertain to laws of the land? Or what about individual disputes that Reuven has with Shimon? Does Reuven's disputes with Shimon, is that in any way affected by the law of the land? Or we say that's got nothing to do with the land, and the king's right to impose Dina de Malchusa only is because of the ownership of the land. And in fact the Ramah says, in Simon Shin Samach Tes Sifches, Yeshemrin, therefore, de loyam minam Dina de Malchusa Dina, elo bemisim, only when it comes to taxes, umichsim, and tax collectors, hataluim bekarka, and they're collecting land taxes. Ki hamelech goizeh, says the Ramah, because the king has decreed, shlo yoduru ba'artzoi, you're not allowed to live in the land, ki im bederech zeh, unless you pay your taxes. Avo b'shor dvorim loy, in other matters, we have a free hand. V'yesh cholkim, and others disagree, v'sfir and who, and they hold, Da'minum b'chol dovo, dinu de malchus adina, he says, v'chein hu ikka, says the Ramah, that's the ikka. But how do you understand it? In fact, Rav Shlomo Zalman, in his Sefer that's been brought out, his Shi'urim on Maseches Nedarim, he says, he doesn't understand, he says, how does this work? The only way you can say it is like this. It's not just that the king says you can only own, you can only have an ownership in a piece of land, or you can only use my land if you use it in accordance with the various planning rules that have been told to you. You can only use it for domestic purposes, you're not allowed to build without permission, etc., etc., etc. But we're only allowed to stay in England if we keep the laws in England, generally. So you can only stay in England if you don't park on a double yellow line, if you don't stop on a double red line, whatever it is, the various laws that are. That on those conditions, I allow you to stay. It's got nothing to do with the land. It's got to do with, if you keep the law, you're welcome, and if you don't keep the law, there's the door. Go and find yourself somewhere else. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, according to this, if the Malchus turned around and said, you can't put on tefillin, what's to stop them doing this? So Shlomo Zalman answers, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, you must say that the only thing that stops them doing this is that they themselves have a Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and that they are commanded themselves to be God-fearing people, and inasmuch as you have people who want to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said, therefore they're not allowed to stop them. But this is, according to the second opinion, the Ramah, it extends far more to than just the land. It's very simple. It is a type of, as Reb Reuven explains, the Chiddushim Reb Reuven on Gittin, he explains that the concept is the following. It's a form of rent. We pay for the right to be able to live in this country by keeping the law. If we keep the law, and everything included in it, including paying our taxes and everything else, but also by being law-abiding citizens, in that way, by doing that, that is, so to speak, the quid pro quo that has been demanded of us and conditional for us being allowed to stay in this country. And therefore, as a result, everything is included in that. That's the opinion of the Ran. We'll see, maybe, Mitzvah Shem, we'll see how we paskin. The second opinion is the opinion of the Rashbam. How do we say Din de Machos Adina? How does that work? The Rashbam says very simply, Rashbam in Bol Basra, he says, Kol misim v'arnonios, all taxes and poll tax, probably arnona, umin hogos, council tax, umin hogos shal mishpatei melochim, and the various legislations of the laws of the kings, shuvagilim lahamig malchuson, that they legislate for their country, dinahu, it also has, it is din, not just it's the law, but it's din. Why? Shekol b'nei ha-malchus mekablim aleihem mirutzeinom chukei ha-melech u'mishpotov. It's in the good, it's mutually beneficial for us to have law and order in a country, and therefore we have voted. And even if the individual says, count me out, but now it won't help, says Reb Shlomo Zalman. You become, that is, botla daito. There is an agreement in a country, especially if it's a democratic country where, or even if it's not completely democratic, but the king has been appointed and the people are accepting of the fact that there is a king in the country, then, but certainly if it's democratic, that has been by vote, and since that's the system, it's been accepted on your behalf whether you like it or not. That's the Rashbam. But according to that, there would be Dina de Malchus Adina in Eretz Yisrael as well, if, yes, provided that the people agree to, in principle, to the system that has been imposed upon them. There's a third opinion, and that's the opinion of the Mabit. The Mabit says that there is a special Gezeirus HaKosuv, which applies to a Melech. And this Gezeirus HaKosuv doesn't just apply to a Melech be Yisrael, it applies to a Melech of Umas HaOlam, a non-Jewish king as well. And the Mabit says, he says the following, he says that we learn it from Sefer Shmuel, Umishom Yalfinon Shumetzuvim Lekayim Chukei HaMelech V'Takanoisov, V'Aval Pi Shebatoira Ayru B'Malchus Yisrael, Mikol Mokim Yalfinon Mino L'Malchei Umas HaOlam, Shegam Lohem Yesh Tokev, they have the power, Afilu klapi toshaveim Yisrael, even with respect to Jewish citizens, ulefi divreim dina de malchus adina, eino yisoido kinyan memoni. It's not a financial right that they have, but it is a concept like hefka based in hefka. They have, the king has the right to declare someone's property hefka. Possibly something like compulsory purchase. Compulsory purchase, it's very nice of them to pay us for it, but it suggests that there's even a concept of hefka based in hefka. It could be a compulsory confiscation, but only for Tovus HaMelech, for the good of the state, for the good of the country. That is according to the Mabit. It seems to be, after quite a bit of to-ing and fro-ing, it seems to be agreed lahalocha, although the Shulchan Aruch probably doesn't agree with it, but it seems to be agreed lahalocha, that is, the Ramah, that the Ramah holds that we paskin like the Ran. We paskin like the Ran, that the reason why Dina de Malchus Adina is because the king could otherwise show us the door. The government could otherwise say, if you don't want to keep the laws in this country, find yourself somewhere else to live. And therefore, as a result of it, it means that taxes, it means that fines, it means that penalties that would be imposed upon us, if they are taxes, fines and penalties that would apply to anyone in our situation, we're not singled out for this purpose, then these are debts that we owe in din. It's got nothing to do with Issa V'Heta. It's got to do with Gezel. It's got to do with Dinei Mamonos. That's what it applies to. And Mimela, there's a Lo Sigzol and everything else applies. But that's where Din D'Malchusa comes in. It gives the monarchy, it gives the governments, it gives them the financial right to impose the various financial restraints or demands upon us. And that is a right in din. So, if they came to Beis Din and they said, this is what we've imposed, please, Da'onim, will you make him pay up? That in din, that would be the thing that we'd have to do. We have to say, yes, you have to pay this fine, you have to pay the other fine, you are liable to pay it. It's not just any old person turning up and demanding it, clamping your car and demanding some money. It is, in law, they have the right to do that, and therefore, it is rightfully there, what they're claiming is rightfully theirs. And that's how we pass them. That is the Psak in Halacha. In fact, the Chasam Sefer says more than that. The Chasam Sefer says that even the Ran will agree to the Rashbam that where the country introduces a law, even if the law is not in Din Torah at all, but were it not for the law, we would impose it as well, like stopping at a red light, like possibly not parking in various places, that becomes something which even the Ran would agree that even if the monarchy did not have the right to throw you out, let's say there was a country where they did not have the right to throw you out and the land really did belong to you, nonetheless, in the interest of law and order, that we say we have a mispalo b'shlemish of malchus she ilamolei moiroi ish esrael chaim beloi, says that the Chasam Sefer quotes this Mishnah, and he says, since there's certain laws that we would have to introduce, never mind they've been introduced from outside, but we would have to introduce them nonetheless, therefore those become things that are, again, accepted by all, mutually accepted, because they're things everyone understands, that you cannot have absolute chaos, and things have to be organized in a proper fashion. And therefore the Chasam Sefer says, even if the Ram's din would not apply in any case, but in a particular case, but if it's something that we ourselves would instigate, this is something that we have to keep, and that is something which becomes a chiyuv mitzad ha-din to abide by and to work accordingly. Where, though, din d'malchusa, a real question comes into play, is where the Torah tells us, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, that in a civil dispute between two people, that the Shulchan Aruch tells us that a particular person has a particular right, and in English law, the right is different. And now the question is, according to which one do we judge? And there's a huge machlokes between the Ramah and the Shach, quite a famous machlokes, about a particular case where, it's a particular instance, where somebody takes a mashkan. And that's what's quoted here. Somebody takes a mashkan, so I lend somebody else some money. In return for the money, I take something as a guarantee. So I take a deposit, I take something, I take a gold watch. I take a gold watch in return for the money I've lent them, and the time comes up to pay, and they haven't paid it. As far as the din of Shulchan Aruch is concerned, I have to tell them, I don't even have to go to Beis Din. In front of Adin, I say, look, the time for repayment has come, this is what it says in the shtar, in the loan document, you haven't paid up. If you don't pay up within a month, then the din is I'm allowed to sell this watch for its full value, as much as I can get for it, to take what is rightfully mine, and to return the change to the borrower. That is true in as far as the Din Torah is concerned. The law at the time of the Ramah was that you have to give them a year to pay back. And the Ramah says, now that the Din of the Malchusa is that you have to give a year, you have to wait a year. Because on that understanding, the money was borrowed. On that understanding, the gold watch was handed over as a guarantee. And therefore, he says, Along comes the Shach, and the Shach says, no way. The Shach says, there's a din in the Torah of a month. There's no such thing as din de machusa taking away that law. So therefore, when two litigants come to Beis Din, and they willfully accept to be arbitrated according to the din of the Torah, which is our religious chiyuv. We have a chiyuv to do that. We haven't got, in England, we have to, the law of England is that arbitration has to be accepted willingly on both sides. The din of the Torah is, as a religious Jew, that you have to accept to do that. So when we sign that arbitration form, now the question is, how do things worked out? Does the Beis Din work, look at Shulchan Aruch and say, Shulchan Aruch says a month? Or does the Beis Din say, but common practice in the country that we live in, what's sometimes called minig sochrim, it is the common understanding, common practice in these matters is to wait a year. You've got to wait a year. And in that, there's a fantastic machlokas between the Ramah and the Shach, whether that's a violation of the Torah to substitute something in English law where it's specifically legislated for in the Torah. The Ramah says no, because since that's the understanding, so that is what I, the borrower, well, exactly whoever it is, the borrower, has agreed when they hand over the watch. Says the Shach, unless that's specifically mentioned, it will not be the case, because the Din Torah is the default position. And in that, there's a machlokas. When do common practices in various areas of commerce or tradesmanship or whatever it will be, when do they come into? That is the only area of, where we are torn between Din Torah and Din de Malchusa, as to which one is the one to use in these instances. But otherwise, with Baruch Hashem, we keep the Torah, they allow us to keep the Torah, it's a wonderful thing, and we should certainly show our gratitude to this country by in every way being law-abiding, being upstanding citizens. And I will say that the more that we keep the Torah, the more that we learn the Torah, the more that we are a mamleches kernim of goy kodesh, and we are an example to mankind as to how to behave in every way with derech eretz, keeping the Torah on the derech eretz in a way which is drocher darchei noyam from the sivos seir shalom, that surely is the greatest kiddush Hashem and the greatest asset to the country in which we are, we enjoy their hospitality.